The Old Testament prophet said that when the Messiah came, he would be three things. They said he would be powerful, they said he would be wise, and they said he would be holy. Jesus, of course, showed himself to be all of those things. Jesus cured the sick. Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed thousands of people in the wilderness. Jesus walked on water. Jesus brought the dead back to life. No shortage of power there. And the people hung on his every word. They said, "No man has ever spoken like this before, for he speaks with authority and not like our scribes." No small measure of wisdom there. And everybody knew that Jesus was holy. There's something about holiness where nobody has to tell you that someone is holy. You can tell it instinctively. You can intuit it, right? Everybody knows it. The crowds regarded Jesus as a prophet. His holiness was never in doubt. And they saw him as being powerful and wise and holy. And they said, well, maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is the long-expected one. And they all cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And they wove their palm branches, and Jesus rode triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey, just like King David of old. And then suddenly, on Good Friday, suddenly everything changed. Suddenly, Jesus was powerless. "If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross," they said to him. And he stayed right where he was. Suddenly, Jesus was a fool. They cloaked him in a purple garment and they put a fake scepter in his hand, jamming a reed into his bloodied fist. And they wove a crown out of thorns. Now think about that for just a moment. That takes some doing. They really wanted to make a mockery out of him. "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" they said in deepest scorn. And then they crucified him like a common criminal. I mean, don't forget, they reserved crucifixion for only the worst offenders as the opposite of holy. And to the people who lived through it that first day, to his closest friends and disciples, it must have seemed like complete absurdity. Complete absurdity. And then years later, it would be St. Paul who would say that the cross is absurdity for those who are on their way to destruction. But for those who are walking the path to life, the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Think about this for just a second. Don't you think, by every measure of human reckoning, that the cross ought to be our greatest embarrassment? Greatest embarrassment. Here's the leader of our faith, and he's being executed as a common criminal. And we put it in the middle of our church. Who does that? Who out there trumpets their greatest failures? This emblem of innocent suffering, this emblem of unjust suffering, middle of our church. Why do we do that? And why do we call this Friday good? What's good about it? Why don't we call this Bad Friday or Sad Friday? Why? Because on Good Friday, when things could not get any worse, God was not finished. Easter will prove that the cross is not the end, not for Jesus and not for you. That's why the cross shows God's power and wisdom and goodness. That's why the cross shows that there is nothing, no matter how evil, that God cannot make an even greater good come about as a consequence. That's why the cross shows the depth of God's love for you. And here's a little thought for you to think about. Imagine for a moment, imagine you could have all of God's power, right? And do whatever you wanted with it. Just imagine. Sky's the limit. You can do anything that you want and you've got all of God's power, what do you think you might do? Maybe for starters, you'd just cure all the diseases and you'd end all the wars, just for starters. After that, heaven alone knows what you might do with it. But I'll tell you this, I bet you anything, I can name one thing you would never do. You would never volunteer to go die on a cross. But the real God did. The real God did. To show you that his power, his wisdom, and his love are invincible. That is why we bow down before the cross. That is why we press the cross to our lips. That is why we say, we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.